This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
You want to talk about how you're a reader now?
I am a reader.
That's a change of events.
Okay, relax.
Before we get started, you know, this man talks a lot of shit. So, like, as you guys know, I read a lot, right? I spend my free time reading various books. I'm on my 8th book of the year.
That's crazy.
This man always comes at me saying, "Oh, you little nerdy girl." He's one of those that would kick the books out of your hand in the hallway.
I wrote a book, first of all. So I've never made fun of you for reading a lot. I think it's just cute. It's cute that, like, you read so much. But I've expressed my feelings towards reading on the podcast before. I used to read a lot. All right. You don't know that about me. Junie B. Jones. Goosebumps. Goosebumps.
The last time you read was when you were 7.
They had to yank the book out of my hands when I was in 3rd grade. I was reading Goosebumps away. Then I took a pause. Long pause. Like, 13-year pause. But I've read, like, on and off the last couple years. Like, I'll, like, pick up a book and I'll read a couple pages. Then, like, I'll never touch it again and I'll lose it and, like, completely forget about it. But I've been on a reading kick for, like, the last week. I don't think there was any major shift, any major change in life. It's just, you know, things come back around, you know, like, life works in funny ways. And I think right now, the world has brought reading back to me and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Yesterday I was reading and in my head I was like, there is nothing that can take this book away from me. I'm going to keep reading until I finish. And I finished it.
Wow.
And I had a great time. And I was on Amazon today. Amazon all day today just trying to find books. Like, I need to buy some more books.
How about a little Barnes & Noble, not from Amazon?
That's true.
A little local bookstore.
That's true. If you guys are curious, I've been reading a lot of poetry. If you guys struggle with reading anything long form, you know, novels, fiction, whatever, poetry, easy, right? Like, I realize that I read poetry because I can't read fast, okay? I just get made fun of it all the time. I can't read fast. I'm a slow reader. I like to actually understand what I'm reading. So poetry, really recommend poetry books.
That's so crazy how me and you are different in that aspect, because I cannot read slowly and I can't read poetry. Like, I have to read novels and I read pretty quickly, so... You know, that's why it's hard for me to grasp poetry.
Like, yesterday I was reading a book and I came across this one line. It's 5 words. The line was 5 words. But this, like, I sat on this line for, like, an hour. I, like, could not stop thinking about it. And I was so excited to tell Mo. And I told her and she was just like, okay.
I mean, it didn't really hit the same, you know.
But it hit me, you know. So, like, to each their own, I don't know.
Anyway, welcome back to our podcast called Difficult Dish. A podcast about different South Asian narratives. I am Mahua.
And I'm reader boy Mashnoon.
So today we are talking about people pleasing and we are talking about how this is the epidemic of our community, of our society. It is what brings us to our downfall. It is toxic. It is horrible. So we are going to talk about why people pleasing is so prevalent and just such a big thing in our community and just so many people's lives, and how we were a part of it and we still in some aspect are. And, like, some of our tips to kind of get out of it, unlearn it, you know, treat ourselves, do things for ourselves, be a little bit more selfish, and just not do things for other people when we don't want to anymore. So, Mashnoon, in your terms, what do you think people pleasing is?
I won't tell you what I think it is. I'll tell you what it is. You know what people pleasing is? People pleasing is doing whatever it takes to make somebody happy. You understand? Mm. You understand? Yeah, whatever it takes. I've done a lot of that. I'm gonna be honest. I still do it. I still do it.
He's still doing it, right? In this moment, he's still doing it.
Too much. Too much. And the thing is, the thing with people pleasing is that in a sense, it's a good thing. You know, being kind is good. Being generous is good. Being courteous, being empathetic, good traits, great traits, some might say. But there's a limit to everything. And once it crosses a certain threshold, a certain border, then it becomes emotionally depleting, self-harming. Mm-hmm. It can mess somebody up. Mm-hmm. It can mess you up in your route to becoming happy with yourself, becoming happy with your life. And you know, this threshold is hard for people like us to see a lot of the time, because a lot of the time people that look like us have certain expectations that we are expected, you know, to meet. And a lot of the time it can be very emotionally draining. It can mess us up. And it's something that we can all relate to, you know.
You know a quote that I saw today that really hit? Being a people pleaser makes you a doormat. Because people can step all over you. I just added the last part in there because you don't understand the first part. But isn't that so true, where you don't put your own boundaries up and you keep doing things to please other people? Where just it like people keep pushing and pushing because they think you're so kind, you're not able to say no, so they keep pushing you past your boundaries, and you just are giving so much of yourself to this person or these people, but you don't even have enough to give to yourself or these people, you know?
No, it's the fact that, like, you know, like, I'm on your side, right? Like, I like completely agree, but like, it's the fact that, like, I was like really spitting like some really deep poetry to you yesterday, right? And it's like this is what moved you. It's like, is that what is that, like, you could have read being a people pleaser is like,
I just
being
need
like
things
a snail
in simplistic terms.
Okay. Right, well, I agree with you. People can step all over you. People can take advantage of you. People do take advantage of you. People, you know, out of their own, what's the word I'm looking for, out of to make their lives easier and to make their lives simpler, they underestimate how much it is that you're doing. They don't like to make it a serious thing. And, you know, it people take advantage of people that look like us a lot of the time for a lot of different reasons, whether it's our family, whether it's people at our job, whether it's our
friendships, relationships.
A lot of different circumstances. Children of immigrant, brown skinned people, immigrants in general. You know, we've talked about model minority before. A lot of the time, we're expected to be seen and act a certain way, be charismatic, be empathetic. But it's like, what about us? You know, that's the question of the day. What about us?
It makes me think about how you just said immigrants, because I didn't even think about that perspective, just because we're children of immigrants. We're not immigrants, but our parents are. And it makes me think about how, like, a sign of people pleasing is when you constantly say sorry or thank you, even when there's no need for that. And I keep thinking about how, like, you know, if my mom or like my dad is talking to a white person, or like talking to someone at Macy's or something, I don't know, talking to anyone that's white, they constantly say like, oh, thank you, like they compliment them, try to get them on their good side, you know, like try to get on their good side. And that's a sign of people pleasing, because you're inadvertently trying to get their acceptance and their validation by complimenting them or trying to agree with them, thinking that that's going to make you more well-liked, or trying to, you know, use that to like get up more in society. And it's just so interesting because a lot of us also do that even as children of immigrants. But I think it also starts with that generation, you know?
What do you think are some of the causes of somebody becoming a people pleaser, somebody always, you know, wanting validation from other people? Where do you think some of that can stem from?
Well, I think it depends, like, what group of people we're talking about. So if we're talking about immigrants, I think a lot of them came to a new country and they started people pleasing or pleasing people and saying yes to things that they didn't really want to say yes to and start saying thank you and just started, you know, they did this to be more accepted by society. They did this to make more friends in society. They thought that this would make them have more opportunities and have the same like job accomplishments as their peers and like their white peers. And I think a lot of us learned that from our parents as well, because we inadvertently do the same thing. Like we shouldn't have to say, like, be a yes man to every single thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's for immigrants, but what do you feel like for us, like people our age in our community, people that look like us? Where do you think some of that can stem from?
The thing is, in the South Asian community, since we're talking about our community specifically, I think our value is placed more on the group rather than the individual. So we are always told that our reputation is at stake if we say something or do something wrong. So I think since we always have to really think about how our words or our actions really affect other people rather than how it affects ourselves, we have to be very cognizant of how we speak. So I think we grow up always trying to be on good terms with everyone. We always try to, you know, not make people mad. We always just try to do things so it looks good on our parents and looks good on the community. And I think that gets passed on to personal relationships and friendships and things like that. And we start having like a low self-esteem and we feel like we can't say no to things even if we don't want to do it. And I think it really stems from the fact that we don't really have like our own individualistic voice growing up, you know? And even on another note, your position in the family. So for example, if you're the eldest son or if you're the eldest daughter, you also have this responsibility where you're expected to do a lot more for the family. You're told that you have to take care of the siblings, or you're told to financially take care of the parents or the family. And I think because of that, you feel like your say in a matter doesn't matter, and you have to constantly say things and do things for the parents' sake and for the community's sake, and that, you know, selfish if you do anything for yourself.
I think a word that you brought up that I liked was just talking about like poor self-esteem and how like people that look like us, like we run in groups, like you said, like everything is based on community. Everything is there's no like sense of individuality. It's all just like reputation. It's all like family. It's all just everything is centered around group vocabulary. And when you're always chasing validation and approval and acceptance from everybody around you, it's like that comes from having poor self-esteem, and that also generates poor self-esteem because, like, you know, you're always chasing external validation, but it's like, what if you don't get it? You know, like the worst thing is like when you go out of your way to do something for somebody that, like, first off, they like expected you kind of to do already, even though they should have realized, like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be asking this person to do this thing, whatever. And then you do it for them, and then, like, you get no sort of like sense of acceptance or validation from it, and like that just hurts you even more, because now you're questioning, like, oh, like, did I do that good enough? Oh, like, I gotta do it again. I gotta, you know, try to get like the okay. It's like, you know, if you only get validation from your parents, if you get, you know, a good grade, and say you get like you study all night long and you get an 88 on an exam, and your parents give you no sense of validation, you're like, damn, like, I literally studied all night. Like, I'm clearly dumb. Like, there's clearly something wrong with me. And it's like you get older and we think of these things a little bit more macro, and you understand like how a lot of the expectations and a lot of the things that we're expected to do for the people around us, how much it really just ends up really messing us up.
Yeah.
You know, like, there were so many instances I can remember where I did things for my family and they, like, I went so out of my way. I did not have to do it, and I did it, and I got like nothing out of it. And it's like, yeah, we should never do things expecting some sort of validation, but when you're young, like, you don't know better. And a lot of time when we do these certain things, when we study for 40 hours a day for a test, or we spend our entire like savings of $100 to buy this thing for our parents, and like it, we're not recognized for it. It really manifests into, like you said, like poor self-esteem, and it's hard to revert that. It's hard to recover that, you know.
Yeah, I think when you do constantly say yes to things that you don't want to do, and you constantly go out of your way to please other people, they get so used to that treatment, they get so used to you just saying yes, that they don't even acknowledge the fact that it took you so, like, it took so much out of you to do that thing. And they don't even acknowledge the fact that you're literally depleting all of your energy to make them happy. There's so much that you can do, you know? And the more you do something, and the more energy that it's taking for you to do it, the more these people are not going to acknowledge it, the more they're not going to appreciate it, and the more they're just going to ask you for more and more and just walk all over you. So there has to be a point where it's like, you have to just stop and put up your boundaries. And I know when a lot of people say, oh, just put up boundaries, like, you know, like, if you talk to a white therapist, like, they'll be like, oh, cut off your parents, put up your boundaries.
Yeah, yeah, just like, don't talk to them for a month. Just like, what's the problem?
Just run away from home. Yeah, some people do that. You can run away from home if it's that bad and there's no other option. But, you know, for the average person, it's not just possible to run away from home and cut off your parents and do all those things, you know? So there has to be something else that's feasible. And I think it's really important, especially if you see that these people-pleasing tendencies are getting into your friendships. For example, like back in the past, I had a lot of friends that, you know, made me do things that I didn't really want to do. For example, like going out to do things and like drinking and things like that, partying. I wasn't really in that crowd. I felt like I had to do it because it just made them like me more, and I felt like I had to stay in that friend group. So I was like, okay, might as well say yes, because, you know, it's just one day out of the weekend. Like, I can just survive that, which is fine, like, if you think of it like that. But really, at the end of the day, what I had to do was just distance myself or even cut off these friends, because they weren't serving me anymore. And, like, the things that I did want to do, they didn't want to do. So I was like, why the hell am I friggin' bending backwards doing all these things for them that I don't want to do when they're not even doing the things that I want to do, right? And, like, even in that situation, I felt like I couldn't even vocalize what I wanted to do as much, because I had such low self-esteem and I didn't feel good around them. So this doesn't just apply to parents. Like, people-pleasing applies to so many different relationships in your lives, but I think it really stems from your culture and your upbringing and, like, how your parents treat you and how you are with them and your family. And then it stems out and expands to, like, other aspects of your life, right?
Yeah, I think on that note, you know, a lot of it comes from, like, past experiences as well. Like, we can all recall times when we were children when, like, maybe the reinforcement that our parents gave us wasn't the most healthy, and, you know, a lot of us had to, you know, deal with different ways of being brought up that still affect us, like, to this day. Like, I remember when I was working at a coffee shop, I got fired from this one coffee shop.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Because I was outspoken, because I was saying things that, you know, were necessary for, like, management to hear. Maybe my delivery wasn't the best, whatever, but I felt like I was doing the right thing, and they fired me over it. And literally today, I was, you know, like, my manager was, like, asked me to do something, and, like, my manager now is, like, completely different than, like, my manager then. Like, my manager now is, like, my guy. Like, he's, like, my dog. And he was like, yo, can you do this? And, like, I was busy at the moment. Like, I was getting ready for something, and I was just like, yeah. And, like, I still did it, but in my head, I was like, man, it's really crazy how, like, I still feel, like, the after effect of, like, a past experience of me feeling like I was doing something right and like being negatively enforced for it, and like it still affects me to this day, to where like it's really hard for me to say no to somebody, you know. This is in a work sense, but like, you know, I can tell a similar story for like family or friends or siblings or whatever. And you know, it's crazy how when we're talking about people pleasing, like it sticks around, like it doesn't go away. And like, yeah, we can talk about some tips that we have, but even like with the tips, it's like it's really hard, it's really difficult for us to like let this go, especially as like South Asian children, where we're like, again, expected to do things for our family. It's kind of like, at what point, at what threshold is it more about us than like the people around us?
Yeah, I think about how people pleasing is just so toxic in our community, where a lot of parents, like I'm talking about parents now because I feel like that's the root of it, or the culture is the root of it, where they just tell you to do something just because that's what everyone before them did, and that's what like the reputation is told of you. So for example, like a lot of parents will just be like, oh, be a doctor, be an engineer. And then there are a lot of kids who want to make their parents happy, and they're like, all right. And they have like this whole sad life where they pursue a life that they don't want to pursue because they want to make their parents happy. And it's like, even something like, oh, get married now. And they're like, all right, you know, and it's just like doing things just because you're expected to, because of your culture. And then just having like this sad life after, because it's not what you want. Really, you know, like I had so much pushback when I wanted to move out, or when I wanted to pursue the arts, and when I, you know, pursued like English in my undergrad and things like that. And it's just like there's a lot of pushback when you decide to go against the grain and you decide to do something for yourself instead of constantly pleasing other people. But at the end of the day, like that's what you need to do to live a happier life and for you to just, you know, live a more fulfilled life and just stand up for yourself, you know?
We're also like involuntarily taught to like chase perfectionism. And it's like when we're out the womb, like our parents have our whole life plan like already thought out. It's like, your life is going to go like this. At age 5, you're going to do this. At 10, you're going to have a 4.0. You're going to keep the 4.0 for this long.
4.0 at 10?
At 10 years old, you're getting to this school. You're studying this. Yeah. This is your friend, blah, blah, blah. You get married, blah, blah, blah. It's like, they already have all that planned. So, like, from the earliest age, you're like, you have this, like, this quote-unquote, like, perfect guide map to follow. Mm-hmm. And it's like, obviously, nobody follows that 100%, but we're still seen to, and you know, we're again, we're involuntarily told to chase perfectionism, to be perfect. And it's like a cause of always saying yes to people, always trying to please everybody, is like you are just trying to be the perfect person. You were told that like this is what life is, this is how you will live your life, and you have to do whatever, like you have to be this way. And it's like you said, it's so toxic, like chasing expectations, chasing perfectionism, you know, chasing all these things that like life gets in the way, like things happen. Like I tell you all the time, like there are things that I want to do throughout the day, but like life happens, you know, like stuff happens. Sometimes the evening time comes and you're just not feeling good, and there doesn't have to be a specific reason. There doesn't have to be like a specific food that you ate or like the weather. It's like sometimes you just like don't feel good. Right. And these things can't be accounted for, but these things are also not recognized by our parents or the people around us, because it's kind of like only something that we fully understand because it's our lives and our bodies.
Well, sometimes the way you are is a reaction of how your parents are with you. Like we know if like our parents are in a bad mood, or if they're yelling at you, or they're not appreciating everything that you're doing, that problem is somehow rubbed off on you, and obviously you're going to be in a bad mood as well. So it's always like a cycle, you know, like you're always expected to do more, and that's not appreciated for the most part, and then they still ask you for more after like nothing happened, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so like what are some signs of people pleasing if you're unaware of the fact that you're a people pleaser?
If you don't know that you're a people pleaser, here are some symptoms and some signs to help you recognize if you're a people pleaser. Do you struggle with low self-esteem? Probably. Do you have a difficult time saying no? You probably do. Maybe you're a people pleaser. Do you feel guilty when you tell people no?
You also feel like you double down when you disagree on something and the other person agrees. Like, if you have any contradicting opinions with someone and you like put your foot down, and the second they say something back, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, like you're right, like I didn't mean it like that. Like, you're right, but like, you know, like you don't have a strong willed opinion on something.
Well, I think that gets a little tricky. Maybe somebody's just trying to avoid arguments. I think I do that, so I just don't want to argue because there are some crazy people. If you're like yeah, yeah, you know, I think they're
right, exactly. I think, because that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a crazy, you know, person.
I think the earth is round, and somebody's like, it's flat, and I'm like, okay, like whatever you say, you win. You got it, buddy. I used to have a hard time saying sorry. Not a hard time saying sorry. A hard time saying it too much. I was always saying sorry.
Yeah, what are you sorry for?
Sorry.
Yeah.
The trash can tipped up. Sorry.
It can be their fault and you'd still say sorry. That's a sign of people pleasing. Where you feel like someone else's inconvenience is your fault.
Yeah.
What are some tips to unlearn or kind of, you know, pick yourself and not be such a people pleaser?
I think something that I started doing more, at least when it comes to like people, when it comes to like friends, and like people in our community, I started giving like a buffer between like answers. Like, what's when somebody would ask me, like, oh, you want, oh, let's hang out this afternoon. Let me get back to you.
Like, he never gets back to them.
No, I'll get back to them. But it's like a lot of the people pleasing comes from like the fear of like, you know, like,
oh, say yes right away.
The instant rejection, like right in the beginning when you say no and you like are scared of how the other person is going to react, which is why you say yes. Mm-hmm. You don't say yes because you want to. You say yes because you're scared of how they might act or how they might react when you say no.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing like let me see, let me get back to you. Oh, I got some stuff. Not even trying to be like cool or like act busy. Or you could use that as an excuse, like try to act cool to and act busy, whatever it is, to like give some space between like the confrontation and your answer / like judgment to the situation. Give a little space, give a little buffer. When your mom asks you to do something, mom, you know, I'm studying right now. Give me like 30 minutes. And in those 30 minutes, maybe you could think of like a better formatted answer of, you know, how you're going to say no, but like in a nicer way than saying no that like still makes you happy.
Yeah.
I just started avoiding like the instant like yes or no, and just like giving myself a little bit of a space to like breathe, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of us forget the fact that we have time to think about it and that we don't have to respond with a yes right away or a no right away. And I think that's why our anxiety goes through the roof, because we're like, okay, either we say yes right now to like make them happy, or we say no and we make them sad, right?
Yeah.
Like, there is an in between, you know? You don't have to like say yes or no. You can think about your answer and you can get back to them later, or you can say no in a nice way, you know? You don't have to be rude and say no. And I think a lot of us get in our own head and we assume that saying no means like, oh my God, they're going to hate me. Like, they're not going to be my friend anymore. But you can say no in a nice way and people will understand for the most part, you know? It's kind of just you making it bigger in your head.
What tip do you have?
I think something that I've learned is that it's really important to sit down and assess your own morals and values. Because I think a lot of us, since we are so used to people pleasing, our identity kind of gets meshed in with like the other people around us. And we kind of are so insecure that we don't really know what we want, how we want our relationships to be, just because we don't really have the space to explore it on our own. So I think it's really important to sit down and think about like what you want in life, what values you really support. And if the people around you are helping you with that, or they're, you know, not helping you with that. So, for example, if your friends are constantly telling you, oh, I want you to, you know, go to this party with me, or I want you to steal with me. I don't know. And you don't think that you want friends to.
Do you have?
And you don't think your values align with that because you're not a robber and you're not someone that parties. Either I you am. Then either you say yes to that and you do something that you definitely don't want to do when you go to jail, or you think about how to say no and maybe talk to them about it and make them understand that you're uncomfortable with it, or really distance yourself from these relationships, you know? But you have to first have a secure relationship with yourself and understand your morals so that no one else can really make you question that when you are faced with questions like this and decision-making skills like this, because you already have like your own like values in your mind, right? So nothing can really change that.
I need some tangible advice. How do I say no? Like, oh my god, girl, I haven't seen you in like a week and a half. We gotta go get some iced lattes and go watch, you know, the flowers bloom in the park.
I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I honestly don't even open the message. But I think it gets a lot easier as time goes on. What's another tip that you have to put your foot down and just stop being a people pleaser?
I mean, first off, I'm no pro. I don't know. I barely follow what I say. I struggle with this a lot.
It's true.
A lot. Yeah, don't get me started. Don't get me amped up. We know. Don't get me amped up. Freaking a snail outside would ask me, Monster, can you give me some water? I'll do it. Okay.
Who thinks of that example?
It used to be bad. When I was like in high school, bro, I would do anything for anybody. I was at like, and it's crazy because like it really does come back to like self-esteem and like wanting validation. Because I remember I used to say yes to everybody. And I think that's where, like, a lot of, you know, we come across a lot of, like, spontaneous people and across a lot of people that are, like, down for everything. But, like, I feel like a lot of that really does come from just, like, wanting to be accepted by people. You know, like, you get older and maybe you mask it as, like, oh, yeah, like, I just like doing everything. But it's, like, and I'm sure there are people like that. But it really is crazy how, like, it all just comes back to just, like, you just want people to like you, you know? And I think everybody has their own battle and journey with coming to terms with the fact that not everybody is going to like you. I don't think I struggle with that too much anymore. I think it's a lot harder when you're younger because all you know is the people around you. So it's like if the people around you don't like you, then you think it's like the end of the world.
Mm.
Like I met you and you're across the world. Not across the world, but
2 hours.
Sometimes it feels like it. But you're across the country from me. And, like, you like me, you know? So it's, like, if, like, you
so
like
what's me, your tip? Like... So what's your tip?
My tip is don't make excuses and don't lie. I think a lot of the anxiety comes from not wanting to be straight up and giving somebody some bullshit reason to why you can't do something. And you're scared. You tell them, like, yeah, you know, like, my pinky toe hurts. Your pinky toe doesn't hurt. But, like, that's, like, the first thing that you thought of. And now, like, you're scared that, like, that person might see you walking normally. And they'll be like, oh, I thought your pinky toe hurt. And now you're, like, on the spot. You know? So it's, like, I think a lot of the anxiety comes from just, like, not being straight up. Like, not being 100 with the person that you're talking to when they ask you to do something. And I understand it gets hard, especially with your parents. But one thing I started telling myself is, like, yeah, they might be caught off guard the first time or the first couple of times that you tell them no. But it's, like, like, after some repetition, it really does become a lot more normalized in their head.
You have to get comfortable with you being uncomfortable. So, like, you saying no down. Constantly and you getting, you know, this yelling from your parents or, like, backlash from your friends, you know, you saying no or, like, saying no to hangouts, whatever it is. You know, it's uncomfortable to say no, especially if it's your first time. It's uncomfortable to put your needs first. But you have to start getting comfortable. And that's how it gets a lot better and easier. Because you start putting yourself first. It's scary as hell in the beginning. It's uncomfortable in the beginning. But then it gets easier because you're just like, yeah, this is a piece of cake just to say, no, you know, I'm not feeling well, or no, I don't really feel like doing that right now. Maybe next week when I'm more free. Like, it just gets so much easier with more practice and people get used to it. And also, because of that energy, the toxic friends or the toxic people around you are going to get weeded out, and the real friends will get attracted to your energy.
But don't be a meanie.
Yeah, don't be a meanie.
No reason to be a meanie person. You know, you don't gotta, no, I can't do that, you ugly bozo. No need to do any of that.
Wow.
Relax, okay? No, I don't want to do that, you stupid. See, I just stopped myself, you know. But what's another tip you have?
I think another tip that I have on top of that is to get a hold of your emotions, because I think another thing on top of people pleasing, especially if you're like the eldest daughter, the eldest son, if you're someone in a position in the family that's expected to do a lot, you know, a lot of parents in the last generation were expected to just like hold it together. They weren't allowed to suffer. I think a lot of them and a lot of us were told to like hold it together. Don't show your emotions. Don't cry. Just do what you're told to do and like accept it, right? So a lot of us just accept this as our fate. We just accept this as our life. We just assume that we are going to constantly live our lives for other people and like we're not going to be able to do things for ourselves. But the thing is, it's really important to acknowledge how this is affecting you and how living life for other people is bothering you. And just use that, first of all, to make your decisions and have your answers for when something else comes up in the future. Like, use that feeling and emotion to help you make your decision in the future. And also use that as fuel to stop the cycle of people pleasing, right? It's really important to get in tune with your emotion, or even use that emotion and talk to people and see if they're receptive of the fact that they're hurting you and like you can't handle it anymore, you know? So either use it to stop the cycle of people pleasing by starting to say no and stop, you know, you're starting to say no to things that make you uncomfortable and things that you don't want to do, or use that emotion and acknowledge it and tell the people around you how they're making you feel and see if they are receptive to it.
Yeah. Good one.
Yeah.
So if someone's making you feel like an ugly duckling, what do you say?
I don't think I'm an ugly duckling, but you're making me feel upset saying that I'm an ugly duckling, and you can't call me that anymore.
Let's do some role play.
No.
Mo.
No role play.
Mo, please. I need you. Mo, I need you to go get me some dal. Mo, I need you to get me dal, and then I need you to do the laundry, and then you must wash your car.
You constantly asking me to do the laundry and washing the car is making me feel very upset, and I don't want you to ask me to do all those things anymore without saying please first and being appreciative.
Okay, Mo. You see? It's easy.
That's all it takes. That's all it takes.
And then life is great.
Life is great.
As you guys know, we asked you guys for your input on our upcoming topics on our Instagram. Instagram.com/difficultish.
Can you say that again?
Please
what
follow
the hell
us.
Did you just say? Can you say that again?
Instagram.com/difficultish. Our Instagram is difficultish. Okay? Follow it. Follow us. Please. We got a lot of listeners. We don't got a lot of followers. What's up with that?
Who says that?
Go ahead and we got a lot of listeners. We don't got a lot of ratings. What's up with that?
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of listeners. We don't got a lot of reviews on Apple Podcasts. What's up with that? Okay. Go ahead and give us a follow and rating and review and all that.
Anyway, so someone said, I need everyone to like me, even though I know it's not worth the energy.
So why you need everybody to like you, huh?
You know, a lot of us know that what we're doing isn't the best for us, and we know it's not worth it, but there's still, like, an urge to still do it, you know? And that's how you know, I like, that's that. A telltale sign that you shouldn't be doing that or waiting for that to happen.
And it's, like, a lot of the time, we're trying to get, like, the people that we're trying to get to like us is, like, the people that we haven't seen in, like, 8 years. It's like the cool kid from like sophomore year of high school that like you haven't seen them in like however long, and now they look like a rusty toenail, and like you still want them to like you.
A for rusty what? Toenail?
Why do you need them to like you? Tell me why. Tell me why. Cause they were that guy back at.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Honestly, it's so freeing to just release the idea that everyone should like you. Like, it is inevitable that not everyone likes you. And just let that happen, you know? You got fans, you got haters, so what? You can't can't deplete all your energy and just be so nice to every single person that's literally talking shit about you just so you can like just so they can like you.
And I you think don't a even lot like of time them. It's like a lot of time it's like they're not even talking shit.
Someone said it prevents them from coming out to family because they have to maintain some image that they expect.
Yeah,
that's a whole other thing, especially if it's something about your identity that the culture doesn't accept. It's so hard for you to be your authentic self because you feel like you have to uphold this reputation and you have to constantly please people. And that's like this whole other layer that we didn't even talk about. Like, for example, if you're queer,
if you're a woman, you can't be outspoken.
Yeah, it's your intersectional identity. You can't
speak your mind.
If you're queer, if you're trans, like, you have to try even harder to please people because you kind of have to make that part of you be invisible, you know? Such a vicious cycle. It's wild. Someone said, I can't say no because I feel like my opinion is not valid and that might just hurt others. Imagine being in a society where you feel like your opinion does not matter and you're made to feel so little, where it feels like your words have no impact. Like, I remember always being the quiet kid in class. I couldn't even raise my hand, but now here I am.
Yeah, you know, like, a lot of us just devalue ourselves as humans and don't think that, like, what we're saying is smart enough or what we're saying will have the amount of impact that we're looking for. And I think, like, for that, I think I struggled with that a lot growing up. And I was never the kid that raised their hand. I was always too scared to say anything, like, scared of, like, my freaking voice cracking, scared of just, like, not saying a word right. I know you probably deal with that a lot. Probably saying something that like is but you know what is great? Being outspoken is so fun.
Now we got a
like,
podcast.
It's just it's so fun, like, telling people your opinions and like telling people what you think and like giving your insight and like educating somebody on something is so fun. Like, my favorite thing is, like, being so knowledgeable on a topic to where, like, I can teach it to somebody and they're, like, actually learning from me, you know? And that stems from just, like, valuing yourself more as a human. And a lot of us don't do that growing up because we're not given value unless we have, you know, certain accolades or whatever. But
our value is always placed on other people.
Of fun.
Or, like, our accomplishments. And I think something else on top of that, people pleasing, something that I did when I was younger is like just shortening my name and making it easier for other people to say. Like, I just wanted them to like me more. I remember how empowered I felt when I pronounced my name right, my full name. And that was in college. Like, it took me a long time. It was my last semester of undergrad. And it was so empowering to finally say my name out loud. And I felt like I was like shedding into a new layer of myself, you know? Yeah. Try it out. It can be a small step.
Her name is pronounced Mahua.
Thank you.
Not Mahuya. Not Mara.
Oh, wow. No one said that before. So. Let's do two more. Someone said therapy and unlearning a step by step is the way, but apparently it always stays a little bit.
Yeah, it's crazy because that's what I said.
It can't always go away completely, unfortunately, but therapy is a great way to unlearn it. My therapist really did help me with
talk it out. Talk it out. A lot of the time it just takes somebody to like explain it to us in a way that we haven't heard before.
Like an outside perspective to validate your experience. All right, the last response is my sociology teacher said recently to us, know what you value. If someone doesn't match up, don't give them attention, even if you have the subtle need for validation. That's a smart professor, huh? They know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think you know, something that I also started doing is you know, instead of chasing validation from somebody else, I think like self-validation is very pleasing. And I love like looking at myself and be like, like after this like 2-hour long study session, like I just got smarter. And that's great. You know, and it's
positive self-talk.
It's like I'll look at myself in the mirror and be like, I can explain this now. I can explain this to somebody. That's cool. I'm smart. I'm an intelligent young fellow.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any closing thoughts on this topic?
Closing thoughts. I think as a South Asian child, we're always going to be chasing validation from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a parent now. It could be a professor later. It could be our older sibling later on. Whatever it is, we're always going to be chasing it. And I think coming to terms with the fact that it's not going to go anywhere, but we can still do our best to minimize it. And minimizing it will only lead to a more prosperous and like self-sufficient life. I can't explain how much more I've come to love myself after choosing to give myself time that in the past I would have sacrificed for other people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see it at the time when you are saying no, or when you are choosing not to sacrifice for the first time. You don't see it then.
Yeah.
And you might not see it anytime soon, but you'll feel it eventually, and you will thank yourself for starting earlier than later. So if it's something that you're struggling with now, something that you're dealing with now, you can't imagine how much you will thank yourself in the future for changing things up now.
Damn, we got Philosopher Mashun in the house. That was a good closing thought.
Yeah, you know, I've been here, you know, like I don't really go nowhere. I'm here. I'm like the co-host. I don't, you know,
right.
Like, I don't
go. Right. That was a good one. What about you? That was a good one. No, I didn't know we were doing like a back and forth. I just wanted your closing thought. That was a good one.
All right.
Yeah, that like cleared everyone out of the water. Yeah. Like, I shouldn't even try.
Thanks. Earlier in my office, like, I came out of a meeting and I came back to the table, and like they were talking about like what food everybody would be like if they were a food. Like, one of my coworkers was a banana, another coworker was a pizza, another coworker, they said I was tea. How do you feel about that? They're like, yeah, if you were tea? Like a product, you would be tea.
How come they get like full food and you get a piece of tea bag?
Yeah, I was like, I was offended at first. But
I feel like that's then like I was just a like, microaggression.
Should I have like, should I yelled at them?
You should have been, that should have been an upper. That should have gone to HR.
I was people pleasing.
You were people pleasing in that moment. I don't think you're tea.
What would you
tea.
Say I am?
I think you're
no, but I liked it because it's like, I like, you don't like, one day I'll walk in, I'm chai, right? Next day I'm an Earl Grey. Next day
but
I'm,
that's just,
you know, like
them,
Pineapple Express.
That's just them picking the first brown thing that they can think of. So they said tea.
At least they didn't say like broccoli or something.
Okay, but they had fruits. They had like banana, they had tomato, like things like that. Why'd you get a tea bag?
I would want to be a tomato. You think I want to be a tomato? You think I'm a tomato?
You remind me of like a apricot.
Explain.
Like a little peach cobbler.
Because now you got to back it up, right?
Like a little
now
peach
you
cobbler.
You got to give me an explanation.
Like peach cobbler.
Are you going to, like, that's so, like, you said peach cobbler four times. Like, I heard you. Okay, but like, why?
I said what I said.
All right. Anyways. 10-second advice? Anything?
Consider watching some movies sometimes. You know, sometimes I feel like we're too good for movies. We don't have time to watch
this
movies.
This woman said watch a movie. Please give
I've
me
I've been watching
else.
Some movies recently, and they have really changed my life. Anyway, anything you got?
Yeah, eat some food. That'll be good. You know, I start eating food recently and like it really changed my life.
You know, I gotta change my answer.
Yeah, please.
I feel like a lot of people don't do something because they're scared, they're intimidated. For example, I didn't do Pilates for a long time because, you know, it's a very white people sport. But you know what I got myself to like make a solution to that problem? I got myself little trampoline socks.
Okay.
You know those grippy socks? So the thing is, I sweat a lot, right? Like my feet and my hands sweat a lot. So that's really hard to like work out in. So I was like slipping and sliding everywhere. But these grippy socks really just like changed the whole like game. Like I'm not intimidated to walk into this Pilates room anymore. Like I feel in like I'm a part of them, you know? So
can I ask you
if you're always making
was?
Excuses, think about why you're making those excuses and how you can just make a solution.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that over watch a movie. For me, explore a new music genre. I think people forget how many different music genres there are. I think a lot of y'all will listen to, you know, 21 Savage for a year straight.
Right.
A lot of y'all will listen to T-Swift for a year straight.
Wow.
Listen to some reggaeton.
Wow.
Listen to some soca. Some Trinidadian dance music. Listen to some goddamn J-pop. Whatever you want. Explore. Wow. Exploration. The world is so vast.
That's a good
There's so much more than 21 Savage and Taylor Swift.
That's
okay?
a good one. That's a good
if y'all
one.
Need like some recommendations, like I got you.
Yeah, okay? he does got you.
I really got you. All right? Thank you.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you so much for listening to our podcast and our episode on people pleasing. Make sure to follow us on our Instagram and TikTok. It's at DifficultDish on Instagram and at DifficultDish Podcast on TikTok. And also make sure to leave us a review and a 5-star rating on Spotify, Apple, whatever you listen on.
If they made it this far, what do they say in the Friday post?
If you made it this far, you can comment Jellybean Jalebi. Like Jalebi.
Jellybean Jalebi.
Yeah, like Jalebi.
You want them to write Jelly?
Jellybean Jalebi. Go ahead. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We love you. We will see you next week. Allah Hafiz.
Allah Hafiz.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.